Exodus 28 and verse 6. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, and fine twine linen, the work of the cunning workman. Notice those carefully, the materials that the ephod is made out of: gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and then there's the fine twine linen. Exodus 26 and at verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with its 10 curtains. We discussed that yesterday, the 10 cherubic curtain of glory, the very first covering over the tabernacle, made of fine twine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet. Did you notice the artist's deliberate mistake yesterday? And I thank you for all coming to me yesterday to tell me that the 10 cherubic curtain of glory had no gold in it. Remember, I said that it had gold in it. We went through this whole little thing about how they beat the gold flat and they cut the little strips of gold. No gold in the 10 cherubic curtain of glory. And you'll notice it there in Exodus 26 and at verse 1. But there was gold in the ephod. But here we've got the blue, the purple, the scarlet, and the fine twine linen. Okay, so there's no gold thread there, but there's the little golden clasp, those 50 golden clasps that hold it together. Exodus 26 and verse 31, dealing with the veil. And thou shalt make the veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen with cherubim, the work of cunning workmen shall it be. Notice now, where I'm going here is I'm showing you that the item that we're considering now, this ephod, is directly related to the tabernacle. All the way through, all these different things in the tabernacle, this ephod is now related to the tabernacle. Verse 36 of the same chapter, dealing with the door of the tabernacle. That's the very first curtain as you go into the holy place. Made of the same stuff. And thou shalt make the screen for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. Look at the gate in verse 16 of chapter 27. Chapter 27 and at verse 16. That's the gate of the court. For the gate of the court shall be a screen of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. Other than the gold thread and the ephod, the materials used on the ephod were exactly the same as those materials used in the tabernacle. In the fabrics, that is. So why this strong connection between this ephod, which is the last covering, and the tabernacle? I would suggest to you that both the high priest and the tabernacle are shadows of the work and life of Messiah. And we find that in the New Testament. And these ideas are, every now and again, as we're going through the daily readings, you'll see that these threads cross over. For example, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's John chapter 10 and at verse 9, if you'd like to make a note of it. And again, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by the way which he has dedicated for us, by a new and living way, through the veil, that is to say, my flesh. And that's Hebrews chapter 10 and at verse 19. So there we can see he's the door, but he's also the veil. And again, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So there he is, the high priest. That's Hebrews 4 and verse 15. And again, the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So woven into the very fabric of his nature, into the very fabric of Jesus' nature, was blue and scarlet and purple and gold. Well, blue speaks of the spirit nature, doesn't it? He was the Son of God. He was unique. He was the only begotten Son of the Father. There will never be another one like him. He is the first begotten from the dead. And of course, the scarlet speaks of his Adamic nature. which he inherited through Mary his mother. No prizes for guessing what purple is all about. Purple is a secondary colour mixed from these two primary colours. Blue and scarlet together make purple, to show us that he was the Son of God, the Son of Man. And when he was tried, they put on him a purple robe. And of course, gold, well, we don't find yellow in the Bible. That other primary colour, we don't find yellow. We'll be talking about that in our last study together. But we find gold. And of course, that represents for us tried faith, resulting in immortality according to the book of Job. And of course, all these colours, all these threads, are woven into the very fabric of the nature of Jesus. The ephod was designed to support the breastplate. And there we will consider the breastplate now. So that when Aaron ministered in the holy place, and I bring you back to Exodus, are you in Exodus 28 still? Still in Exodus? Good. In Exodus 28 we find these words in verse 29, he would bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart and upon his shoulders. Now that's a combination of verses 29 and verse 12. So the breastplate of judgment was upon his heart so that he should bear the children of Israel upon his heart when he ministered in the holy place. Remember, each one of those stones had one of the names of the children of Israel on it. And these ouches, or these clasps, these little stones in the clasp of the gold here, these onyx stones, he was to bear the children of Israel upon his shoulders as well. As Brother Robert so beautifully puts it in the Law of Moses, the heart to love and the shoulders to carry. And that's what Christ does for us, doesn't he? He bears us upon his heart and upon his shoulders. He loves us and he carries our burdens. Now the Hebrew word for breastplate, if you'd like to make a note of it, is the word chosen. It's C-H-O-S-E-N. Notice again, it's made of the same nature as the ephod. Verse 15. Made of the same stuff. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment, the cunning work of the cunning workman. Like the work of the ephod shalt thou make it, of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. And we saw in our previous study, even down to the very minutest of details, that the breastplate was inextricably linked to the encampment in the wilderness. So whether we look at the outer court or the encampment of Israel, whether we look at the details of the materials used, whatever we do, the details are perfect, and the deeper we go, it always fits. Come then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we see that the breastplate was also associated with our first study, the spirit of the law, and that was love. And the high priest was to wear this breastplate upon his heart. In dealing with spiritual apathy, the apostle exhorts his brethren in Thessalonica, verse 8, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and at verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Isn't that beautiful? And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And so together, faith and love, the apostle describes it as the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians. So faith, love, and righteousness are all bound together in the breastplate. We come then to consider one item of clothing a little more deeply, and that is the blue robe. We've looked at the garments in general, and we want now to consider the blue robe. That's that dark kind of scribbly effect that you see over there. That represents blue. You have to use your imagination. Now, I mentioned before that blue is the color of heaven itself. Heaven is a reminder of God's presence, his magnitude and his omnipresence. Listen to these words from Numbers 15 and at verse 37. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them make me fringes of blue, that ye may look upon them and remember to do all the commandments of God. These fringes of blue in the Hebrew is tit, T-S-I-T. And it should be rendered borders of blue. And that's what I'm going to talk about now. Borders of blue. Alright, I'll bring you to Matthew 23. And of course that little border of blue around the back there, at least the plate of blue, holiness unto Yahweh at the top there, that was a border of gold. The same Hebrew word, tit. You'll have to make a note of that, Numbers 15 and verse 37, because that's the springboard from which we're going to get our exhortation. Matthew 23, you remember well the occasion where Jesus meets the scribes and Pharisees head on, in that great woe chapter. Matthew 23 and verse 5, speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus says, "But all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders." Now, if you'd like to make a note of that in your Bible, that word borders in the Septuagint is the same word that you're going to find in Numbers 15 and at verse 38. So if you can make a little note there, Numbers 15 and verse 38, the word borders in the Septuagint. Same word. All right, they make large their borders. These are the borders of blue, which were still evident in the day of the Pharisees. Indeed, it was a commandment not to be set aside. It was there for all their generations. But here they were making their borders of blue larger, not so much as to remind themselves of God in heaven, but of their own self-righteousness. Instead of looking upwards, instead of looking outwards, they were looking inwards. And of course, there's a great exhortation for us, isn't it? That too much time is spent on looking inwards and not enough time is spent looking outwards and preaching. The whole point of the Levitical law was that they were to lead by example, to lead by service. Matthew 23 and at verse 9, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you only have one master, that's the Messiah. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Of course, that's the principle, isn't it? If a man is to be your minister, let him be your servant. And that's what the priests were supposed to do. They were called to service. They were called to feed the flock of God. They were there to heal the brokenhearted. They were there to seek that which was lost, to bear their brethren upon their hearts and upon their shoulders. Verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" And so Jesus stands before these pseudo-religious people. He stands before them as the light of the world. He stands before them as the Son of Righteousness with healings in His borders. Sit. Malachi chapter 4 and at verse 2. Maybe you'd like to make a note of that as well. With healings in His borders. The same Hebrew word. Matthew chapter 9. You remember well the occasion, pressed in the crowd, the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem, the border of His garment. Matthew 9 and verse 18, "While Jesus spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped Him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hands upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Verse 20, "And behold, a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem." There it is, the border of his garment. Same Greek word. "For she said within herself, if I may touch just the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour." Death and disease are directly related to sin. And sin is directly related to disobedience to God. For sin is the transgression of the law. And that's why we're studying the law. So here was one of Adam's race burdened by disease, believing in the obedience and righteousness of Jesus. And by touching just the border of his garment, she was made whole. She was saved, if you could, your margin there. Now we know that there's nothing magical about the garment, brethren and sisters, nothing at all. It was through faith. It was through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that she was made whole. Matthew 14. The point is even emphasized even greater. This time not only with one woman, but with a whole crowd. Healed by the touching of the border of his garment. Only he was righteous, you understand. Matthew 14 and at verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place knew him, they sent into all the region round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And they brought him that they might only touch the border of his garment. And as many as touched were made whole. Isn't that wonderful? Absolutely incredible. We have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, brethren and sisters. And here we see him in action. But there's more to come. We shall be like him, brethren and sisters. Come to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8, dealing with the age to come, when through our faith in the obedience and righteousness of Christ, when this corruption shall put on incorruption, when this mortal shall have put on immortality, when we are healed and totally, forever, we shall be like him. Zechariah chapter 8 and at verse 23, dealing with the kingdom of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages and nations, shall even take hold of the skirt. Sit. Same Hebrew word, border, of him that is a Jew. And who are the Jews of the kingdom of God? It's us, brethren and sisters. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he who is a Jew inwardly. Circumcision is not of the flesh, but of the heart. Even they shall take hold of the skirt, the border, the tit of him who is a Jew, saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that your God is with you.